This is PhotoBizX, episode number 388, and today we're talking business and photography with a Canadian-based pet photographer who took her business mobile. That's right, she's fitted out a brand new trailer, converted it into a mobile studio, and now drives to her clients to photograph their pets. I'm talking about Beth Alexander, and that interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. We are going to get straight into things today, but before we jump into the interview with Beth, I do want to share a little bit about how this interview came about, because Beth was super nervous about coming on the show. She didn't feel her business was in a position to come in and share a whole lot of business advice. She's recently started working with a photography business coach. I assured her that what she had to share would be fantastic for you to hear about because of the way she's converted this trailer to become a mobile studio. That's the part of the business I was most interested in. I mean, we see, you know, mobile dog washing businesses, mobile grooming businesses, pet trainers coming out to dog owners' houses to help them with obedience and training. I thought, wow, what a great idea. I have not seen this before, a 100% mobile studio. So that was the premise for the interview. Now, as we usually do, or as I usually do with any of the interviews, I try to go as deep into the business side of things as possible. And what I found that I did with Beth, which I feel horrible about looking back at the way I approached the conversation, was I placed my values, my approach to business onto her and the way that she wants to do things with her business. And I think you'll hear that I was almost shocked, or surprised maybe is a better word, at what Beth was charging. That was totally unfair to Beth, because you'll hear in the interview, Beth's philosophy on photography and providing her services, her skills to her clients, is all about making fantastic pet photography available to any pet owner that would like to have beautiful photographs of their pets. Now, maybe it was the interviewer in me or the questioning side of my personality. I was looking for another reason, an additional reason why Beth would be creating the kind of beautiful work that she does for the prices that she's charging. To me, the two things didn't add up. I thought, how can you produce such great work and then not charge so much more for it? I just didn't, in the moment, get that. On reflection, I think what Beth is doing is admirable. I feel like I was harsh in my approach in that part of the interview, in that line of questioning, and really, she should be commended on the approach that she's taking. I mean, she has these ideals, this philosophy, this passion to provide beautiful work to her clients at a price that will support her business, her lifestyle, and that she's comfortable and happy with. So, who am I? Or I was going to say, who am I to question that? But I guess that's my role as the interviewer, to actually question those decisions that an interview guest is making, so I can help you be better informed when you're learning about the guest's business and their approach to photography, sales, marketing, etc. So I guess this prelude is for a couple of reasons. First up, it's to Beth. If you're listening, Beth, I hope you didn't take it the wrong way, and I hope that you're as happy with this interview as I am, and as proud to have other listeners hear your story and see your work. And for you, the listener, I know there is a subset of listeners that really want to be hearing from photographers, you know, that are in that top, you know, 5 or 10% of money earners when it comes to photographers in business. You know, they want to hear about the photographers making the $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, up to $10,000 portrait sales. I mean, that is exciting. I totally get that. But I know that not every photographer is aiming to make those kind of sales. I know personally, I didn't, I don't, I wasn't, I haven't. I found, and I guess you could say I'm guilty of this, I found my comfort level where I feel like my prices are right for my clients, for my community, the clients that I service, for the work that I'm putting out there. And yes, it can be dangerous to be in that comfort zone if we're in business. You know, we're told we should always be striving to be doing better, doing more. But it's also kind of nice to be comfortable and confident going out there producing the kind of work that I do personally for my clients, knowing that I feel or feeling that they are getting fantastic value for the work that I'm providing them. Anyway, I'm not going to ramble anymore. I would love you to go into this interview with an open mind, but do not go into this interview expecting to hear about $5,000 or $10,000 sales, because that's not what Beth's all about. And finally, I'd love to hear your feedback on the interview, my line of questioning, Beth's business model, this style of interview. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And you can leave a comment in the comments area of the show notes, and you can find them this week at photobizx.com/388. Now, in those show notes, you'll see examples of the kind of work that Beth is producing for her clients. I think you'll be blown away. And these were photographed in her mobile pet studio. So photobizx.com/388. And at the bottom of those show notes, you'll find the comments area. Of course, if you're a premium member, Beth is already part of the members Facebook group, so we can talk to her there. You can say what you feel about me and my approach to this interview. And if I was way off the mark, yeah, let's continue the conversation in there. All right, let's get on to the rest of the show and get into the interview with Beth in just a second.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
In last week's episode, if you missed that one, it was with Rahil Gorba. And there's been some tremendous feedback on the interview with Rahil because of his approach and his thoughts and ideas on photography business today. He is proposing and a big proponent of the idea that we should be diversifying. We should not be specializing without photography. And for that reason, he is photographing families, children, boudoir, pets, weddings. He's doing the whole lot. He thinks it's the way of the future. But what I do love is that he does not diversify his approach to his clients. He speaks to every single client in detail before any session goes ahead. And when I say in detail, he's going deep with his clients so he can serve them more effectively. And what you'll find, or you'll hear if you haven't heard the interview, is that he generates much larger sales as a result, because he's delivering exactly what his clients are after. He's able to produce a better, a stronger connection, and his work is exactly what the clients want from their photographs. So if you do want to hear about big sales, big portrait sales, make sure you get back and have a listen to the interview from last week with Rahil. I'm pretty sure you're going to get a ton out of that one.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to kick off this interview with Beth Alexander in just a second. We're going to hear all about her mobile pet photography studio, which I think, again, will blow you away. If you are hearing this announcement, though, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast, and I will be saving a big portion of the second half for premium members only. So if you are loving Beth's story, if you're loving what she's sharing about her business, her pricing, her advertising, her mobile pet studio, you can hear the full interview for as little as $1 with a 30-day trial premium membership. You can get that at photobizx.com/try. Sign up for $1 there. Hear the full interview with Beth. Get access to the Facebook group for premium members and unlock the full interviews for the complete back catalog with incredible guests. No matter if you photograph weddings, portraits, commercial work, headshots, pet photography, families, kids, boudoir, no matter the genre you specialize in, you will get access to an incredible selection of interviews, full interviews with guests who share the intimate details of their photography businesses. photobizx.com/try if you want to hear more from every interview guest.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest has been a long-time PhotoBizX listener and member. I receive her email newsletter updates and have been following along as she built out a mobile pet photography studio. And then recently I received this personal email from her which says, "The last month has been crazy with finalizing things and getting the trailer ready inside and out for the end of the August launch. Before COVID hit, I started working with Alex Cairns, which has been great. She's so knowledgeable. It's been fantastic. We ran a Facebook promo to celebrate the launch of the trailer. I ended up choosing 80 people to photograph. I booked 30 so far and I have 10 more to talk to this week, which means I'll probably book 40 sessions. I'm pretty darn happy with these numbers. Last week, I had 4 sessions in the trailer and have booked 7 for this week so far. The trailer workflow has been going nicely. Arrive, set up, text them that I'm waiting for them outside their house, do a session. They take a break out of the trailer while I edit one image. They come back to view all the images and place their order. Everything takes about 2 hours right now. That's all I have for you right now. I just wanted to say hi and share the great news. Have a great day, Beth." Now, I'm talking about Beth Alexander of Beth Photography in Canada. And I immediately replied to that email asking if she'd be happy to come on and share more about her pet photography business. And I'm rapt that she agreed and she's here with us now. Beth, welcome.
Hi, Andrew.
It sounds like it's been a crazy few months. How has it all been going?
It has been crazy. It's been nonstop since the launch. Like I mentioned before, I think I've had like 1 or 2 days off where it's like, wow, okay, I got nothing booked. How's life around? You know, it's kind of like, okay, what's going around me right now? I've been in a little vortex, but yeah, it's been really good. I'm starting to get into a flow and a little bit of a routine. So it's good.
Unreal. And is the trailer, the mobile studio, working out as you imagined it would?
Yeah, it's great. It's been so, like, we set it up and it's been working as we had imagined. I mean, there's always things that I wanted to do and I just wanted to work in it before I upgraded, you know, my lighting setup and certain stuff like that, where I just wanted to work in the space before I spend the money, of course, and to really just figure out what I really need in there to make it work. But right now, the way it is, it works perfect. So if I didn't, you know, I could just leave it like this and work in it forever. Really, now I'm just being like, okay, how do I make this streamlined? And, you know, I want to walk into the trailer and not have any setup time. How do I do that? You know, so, but other than that, it's been great.
So good. Now, you've said "we" a couple of times. Is it just you working in the business or do you have your husband or were you referring to Alex?
We as in me alone in the business, my cheerleaders, my husband and my kids, of course. But yeah, no, it's just me in the business.
Okay, great. So take me and the listener back to, you know, the first idea, the germ of an idea for the trailer, because, you know, were you shooting in a home-based studio? Were you shooting outdoor pet portraits? Why the idea of the trailer?
Yeah, so for 6 years, I shot outdoors part-time as a pet photographer. And I mean, I love it. I love the challenge. I love everything about it, the colors, the, you know, the outdoor feel of it. But the problem was the weather and fighting the elements all the time and having to reschedule and the inconsistency, where I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I want to guarantee to my clients that they're going to get the same thing over and over again. And I just couldn't. I did, but I was always worried that I couldn't or wouldn't be able to. So to eliminate that, I started learning studio photography, thinking eventually I would maybe have my own space. And then I'm working in a controlled environment where I don't have to fight the elements and I can guarantee it to myself and be more secure in myself, I guess, and not have to worry about the elements and the unknowns. But then, I don't know, I think it was after I was talking to a friend of mine who had started a mobile grooming service. And we were just chatting about possibly renting spaces and looking at maybe working together or doing something. And then I had mentioned, you know, maybe trying to figure out a mobile studio setup of some sort. And she was just like, yes, you have to do it. That's a great, great idea. Because that's how she started. And the mobile grooming service, now she has 2 spas, 2 buildings, along with her mobile services. So it's kind of grown from there for her. So yeah, so then I got that little push and I was like, all right, let's really look into this. Plus I also looked into studio spaces and renting and leasing, and it's like, wow, okay. That's pretty crazy.
The cost, you mean? Is that what you mean by it was pretty crazy?
Yeah, the cost, and then thinking, okay, well, where, right? So it's like I'm limiting myself to a location and limiting access to possibly limiting, you know, access to certain client base. So mobile seemed smart. It just seemed like, okay, well, I should do this.
Yeah. So good. So let me take you back again to something you said there about, you know, being able to produce the same kind of imagery or content for each of your clients. Was that more about, you know, you having a recognizable style or just being able to produce great work every time for every client?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of style and I guess it was more the style. And I think it was just the fear of the weather not cooperating. That element of it for me was just too much of a risk. I just wouldn't, you know, I don't know. It was just the risk of the possibility that, you know, like, okay, well, it's just not going to work out today or have to keep rescheduling. Or yeah, I found that, I mean, I was producing good work and my clients were happy with the work that I was doing outdoors. But yeah, maybe I wasn't finding my own style and maybe it was a little bit of that. And it was, you know, trying to kind of stand out of the pack. Because if you do look around in my area, all the pet photographers, they're all outdoor photographers. There's a handful of them that do studio work. And then there's a handful of them that actually do use lighting outdoors as well. So they're the only ones that kind of stand out of the pack. Everybody else kind of looks the same. It's a beautiful outdoor picture. So yeah, I think it was probably more of a look or a creative decision on that part, I'd say.
I mean, looking at your work now and, you know, I'm just scrolling through your Instagram feed, like you have a real look now. Like as soon as you started shooting in the studio, like your images, they're just popping. Like you have a look. So you must be stoked with that. So happy.
Thank you. That's awesome. Yay. Yeah, that's good. Good to know. Okay.
Because you live in Canada and I know you're exposed to some pretty bad weather at certain times of the year, are you seeing less cancellations or reschedules now? And is the trailer heated?
Oh yeah, it's heated and it has an AC unit and everything. We're just coming into winter right now, so I haven't really tried the heater, but yeah, it's insulated. Yeah, it's built to withstand our horrible weathers.
Okay, so just talk to us about the actual trailer. Like how big is it? What is it? Did you start with just a bare frame and what's inside it?
So it is a cargo trailer. It's a utility trailer. It's a closed-in trailer. Usually people buy them for work or you've seen people pull horses in those big black trailers. Those are utility trailers. Yeah. So we have a couple producers. So it's a custom built. You can put as much as you want in it or as little as you want in them. And so mine is insulated. It has wood floors, AC unit, heating unit, and that's it. Oh, I have electricity as well. So I have outlets. And so that was all built in the factory in the US. And then when it was done, shipped over to our supplier and I picked it up and it's good to go. So all I needed to do is fill the inside basically. So we built a stage. My husband built me a stage and my friends built me this awesome bench at the other end of the trailer, kind of where the peak usually is of the trailer. And that doubles as my storage. The trailer itself is 16 feet long and 7 feet wide. 7 feet wide? 6 feet wide?
Yeah.
7 feet tall. Yeah. 7 feet high. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can certainly stand up and walk around inside this trailer.
Oh, yes. You can stand up, walk around. There's a good clearing because I'm 5'8 and I still have a good clearing. So 7 and a bit.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And this is a trailer that you literally tow with a car. It's not like all in one.
Yeah, no, I tow it with my new truck. And because I needed a truck to pull it. So I have a nice new truck for it. And yeah, we just pull it around town.
I'll have a video and some photos of it to go with the show notes. But it looks amazing from what you've shown me, that the sign writing on the sides You're even featuring wall art on the sign writing, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
You mentioned you have power outlets. So when you turn up to a client's house, do you have a generator or you plug into their power?
Mm-hmm. I have a generator.
Oh.
It's not crazy quiet, but it's like an in-between kind of generator. So it's not too bad. I usually wait after the session before I turn it on. That way the noise is, you can kind of hear it, but not too much. But I find with the cats, they still hear it. So I usually don't turn it on until after. So my power is actually connected to a battery reserve that gets charged when I drive. So I have enough power in that little power pack to run just my inside lighting, which is all I really need for the session part of it.
Got it. Okay. So do you have the option then to still, you know, run a power lead and plug into the client's home?
I could, yeah. I've had some clients offer, which is very nice of them. But yeah, I could if I wanted to, but I don't need to.
Okay, I love it. So when you took delivery of this, this was really just a basic shell. So then you did the fit out at home yourself?
Yeah.
Like mounting the lights. So do you mount the lights to the walls or the ceiling, or are they all just mobile on stands?
No, the lights came with the like electrical package that I got.
I mean, your studio lights for photographing.
Oh, my studio lights. Yeah. So I still have my, you know, studio light that I had from the beginning. It's like a cheap kit that I got years and years ago. It's doing the job right now. I do want to invest in a studio lighting, like ceiling bracket, one of those hanging studio lighting. That's going to be the next upgrade, I guess. But yeah, so that's part of my setting up when I get there. When I get there, I have to set up my lighting and I have to plug in my computer, and that's pretty much it. It doesn't take too long.
And are you doing the sales sessions inside the actual trailer as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so everything happens there. So you do the session.
Yep.
I think I said in the intro, then the client goes inside, you do a bit of an edit, do you?
Yes. I started off doing one image edit, and then I just got better at shooting in my studio. And so now I'm basically culling the images and partially almost finishing the edits. Really, it's just about, you know, the cropping and then choosing the right images that go with the mood of the images, you know, and then after that, it's really the cleanup part of it. I just tell them that I'll clean it up after. Like, I don't spend any time cleaning up crumbs or, you know, dog treats off the floor anymore. I used to, but that's just kind of a waste. They can see it. They know that it's going to go away. You know, I just really want them to see the style, right, that I provide. So as much as I can edit in that 30 minutes for them to get that feeling and that emotion and that image, then I'll do it until I can. I time myself for 30 minutes and then I cut myself off because I could just do it for hours.
Yeah, you did like all of us. That's great.
Yeah.
So are you and the client standing while you're going through that process? And I want to go deeper into it in a minute. Or are you sitting at a couch inside the trailer? What's the setup there?
While I'm culling?
While you're culling, and then when the client comes back in for the, I guess, for the sales session.
So after the session, they take a well-deserved break, is how I put it. Basically kick them out of the trailer, ask them to go for a walk or go for a break. And then I let them know when I'm done. So I'll usually text them and tell them to come back. And then that's when we do the viewing. That doesn't take very long. They're just standing there looking at the pictures. And we go through them all and then they pick the ones they want and that's it.
Wow. And is there music in the background or is it all just, let's just get in and get out?
Yeah, get in and get out.
Yep.
Yeah. No music. I played around with the music idea. There's just so much going on.
Right, right.
With the music. Maybe I'll add music after, but at this point, there's no music.
Okay. Yeah, what I really love is how, like, it sounds like you've taken a bare bones approach. You've gone with the minimal viable options for everything, but still having it look great, and then have the view of adding things later as you go, rather than trying to make everything perfect. Is that the way you feel?
Yes, absolutely. And I wasn't always thinking that way. But you know what? We learn and we grow over time. But yeah, it's definitely a really good approach to anything that I find. I've been doing more and more in my business. I'm a perfectionist and I try to get everything amazing and perfect. But you know what? it's kind of wearing me out. So, and after hearing so many people on your podcast that, you know, they just get it done and then they make it better later. And I was like, well, that's genius. If they can do it, why can't I? So, yeah. So basically now that's basically the approach. If, you know, I look at it, do I need it? Do I need it right now? It's an investment too, right? In your time and your money. So
I agree.
Yeah. So bare bones, work with what you got and then just make it work until you can make it better.
In my experience, those photographers are the most successful photographers because they're not using that perfection as an excuse to not do things. You know, yeah. I was speaking with another photographer last week and they've got a new website coming. They don't want to run any Facebook ads until a new website's done. It's like, hey, that's crazy. The shoots are the only things that are going to pay for the new website.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard though, because when I first started, I wanted everything perfect, right? Yes. You don't want to put anything out there because someone will see it.
That's right. But I think at the same time, I think that we're almost worried that other photographers are judging us. We're not even thinking about our clients. We're wondering.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Always. Yes.
So I'm going to have a rough guess, and I hope I don't offend you here, at the cost of the trailer, $20,000?
Ah, oh, so good.
Really?
That's very, very close. 22.
Okay.
But that's the trailer, the generator, the decal. That includes, you know, supplies for the bench, like all that stuff.
So it's everything.
So not just the shell, everything. Yeah.
That's everything. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So is that the cost you originally went in with? Or was this like a, you know, building a house where you think I'm going to spend $100,000, end up spending $150,000?
No, I was pretty... I had done a startup cost budget and I was also working with some business coaches. So I was able to kind of really hammer it out and get some pretty close numbers before I went in and did it. Yeah.
Right. So let's say, you know, you sit down before you go ahead and you come up with a figure, let's say it's 22,000.
Yep.
So when you're sitting down with, you know, whether it's with Jay, your husband or your business coach, are you mapping out a timeline to have this paid off or to make repayments or to have it pay for itself?
No, I'm not that smart. I'm not that budget savvy. It was kind of a, we're going to do it and then we'll just do it and then we'll deal with it after.
Yeah. So there was a little bit of risk involved then. Like it wasn't guaranteed to work.
No, not guaranteed. It's a big risk. Yeah. It was a big jump. It was a big risk. But I saved my money for something and this happened to be what I spent it on.
What a great investment. So good.
Yeah.
You mentioned coaches and coaching and so did I. I mean, you and I both mentioned Alex and we're talking about Alex Cairns of Houndstooth Studio, who I've interviewed on the podcast in episode 290. And I think the heading for that episode was the most successful pet photographer in Australia because I know she's amazingly successful.
Yeah, yeah.
When and why did you approach Alex for coaching?
I had been stalking Alex for a while, I think from like your very, very first episode with her. And then she came back on and I don't know what it was. I think she might have gone on another podcast, another pet photography podcast. And I was ready for a business coach and I had heard that she was doing coaching. So I looked into her offerings and COVID started, we went into lockdown. So then I basically was in, okay, what can I do in learn mode while I'm here stuck in my home? I might as well be productive. And this whole mobile studio thing was brewing in my head at the same time. So I had a few things going on. I was also working with the business center in my local area for, startup businesses. So I was working with them. And that's when I started working with Alex as well. So that was March, April.
Right.
Yes. Around there.
So let me get the timeline straight here because I think this is incredible. So COVID hits and then you decide to build the trailer and make an investment in the business and hire a business coach, which I'm expecting isn't super cheap. I know you were expecting it to pay for itself, but you made those two big investments in yourself and the business after COVID hit.
Yeah, they were already like they were already in play, so there was like no turning back at this point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no turning back. So it was kind of like ride the wave and, you know, the investment is made, so let's make it happen kind of deal. Yeah.
Okay, so the investment in the trailer. So you've started that process.
Yeah. I had already started with the trailer. Yeah.
Okay. So how were you feeling then when, you know, things like lockdown and social distancing started or having to wear masks? I mean, I'm not exactly sure of the rules where you are, but how were you feeling when, you know, you got into the thick of it? Were you, yeah, how were you feeling?
Stressed. Freaking out. Yes. And you know what? It's funny because I think I messaged Alex quite a few times with, you know, the emojis of people breathing in the paper bag, freaking out, going, oh my God, what have I done? And thankfully, she has gone through all these numerous years and she's gone through a few recessions and she had some very calming words of motivation and brought me back down and it was all good.
And how has it been through COVID? I was going to say the worst of it, but I guess we don't really know how far into this we are. But how has it been?
Well, it's been surprisingly well welcome. But then on the other hand, I'm not surprised because everybody is, you know, happy to be, well, we got out of lockdown and haven't gone back in yet. So I think once some of our restrictions started lifting, people wanted to be part of the world again, you know? And yeah, so I guess it was well received. And in our community, in the pet community, we've been in quarantine and lockdown with our pets and we've been spending so much time with them. So it's really created these amazing bonds. And I feel like a lot of us, you know, more of a stronger bond and really appreciating our pets. So I think us in that industry now are really, you know, seeing our customers, like they really want to do these things because of, you know, having to spend so much time with them and they really do see, you know, how much they bring into their lives. So yeah, so that part of it was pretty good for us.
So did you hold all marketing and advertising during the actual lockdown period and have it ready to go as soon as you came out of lockdown?
Yeah, we weren't ready yet, but yeah, basically we were just waiting for me to get out of lockdown and then kind of gave it a month and just to kind of feel our way through, you know, how people felt and what they were spending their money on and if they were interested in anything. And then we just went for it basically and started advertising.
Right. And that was that initial Facebook ad campaign.
Yeah, that was the first Facebook ad campaign.
Let me step back a little bit here, Beth, because before you started to run ads and before you started attracting people to the mobile studio, you needed to have some kind of a portfolio. Or did you start with nothing as far as studio imagery?
Studio imagery? Oh, yeah, I just practiced.
Well, because all your portraits up until that stage, your pet photography was all outdoors.
That's right.
But here you are about to market studio photography. Well, I'm guessing you needed a portfolio to use for your advertising, for your website, for social media.
Yes.
How did you go about getting all those images?
Well, I have 3 dogs, 2 cats, a snake, and 3 chickens. So I rallied everybody up and lined them up. Basically, it was, okay, who's next? Yes.
So you used all your own pets for your initial portfolio?
Oh, yes.
I love that. Okay, so then you used those images for your website, your social media, and then for your advertising and marketing.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So I alluded to the fact that you ran that, or you told me in that email, you ran that Facebook ad, and I said that in the intro. It was a giveaway, like a lot of photographers know and use.
Yeah.
And you had a great response. Yeah. Was there anything special you did with that ad to get such a great response, or why do you feel it works so well?
Well, I already had a strong following over this 6 years of pet photography in my area, even if it was outdoors. I did a lot of pet expos. I did a lot of charity work. So my Facebook page and my Instagram, like I don't have big numbers, but I have a following. So that helped, I think. I'm sure it helped. And then but the Facebook ad was basically a post that I boosted for a day and that was pretty much it.
That's so good.
So I think it was just timing and everybody wanting to. And a lot of the people that do follow me or I've known for a while, we still talk and we've known each other kind of through a lot of pet events. And so they're kind of like all excited that I was doing something new and was sharing with them, you know, the progress. And so they were kind of part of it too. So they were super excited to see the mobile studio and experience the whole thing, you know.
I love it. So did you have a price change as you went from outdoor photography to the studio photography?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, up, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I did. So I started, like everybody, we all have to start somewhere, right? And I just kind of slowly brought my prices up. By the end of it, when I was just shooting outdoors, I was offering digital file packages. So they were kind of almost kind of like a wedding photographer where you have three, you have the high, middle, lower package, and it was digital files. And they got a certain amount of digital files and then that was it. And they could just go on the gallery and pick their pictures. And that was, and I mean, that works very well. And then when I started the coaching with Alex, I had wanted to do products for a long time. I just didn't know how to provide that service. So that was a good combination there where she was able to just kind of help me maneuver how to do that, how to set it up and the numbers and what to offer too, because there's a lot out there and it's kind of like, well, okay, what do I really need to offer, right? Do I need to offer everything kind of deal? So that's kind of where I started and where I'm at right now.
So good. I know I'm jumping around all over the place here, but you have a whole new website and it's so easy to see that wall art is a big, you know, it's what you do now.
Yes.
So is that the other big thing you were working on at the same time the trailer was getting fitted out?
I had started that a couple of years back because I was wanting to kind of offer or kind of put like the thought in my client's mind, even though they were buying digital files, they had access to wall art. I use PicTime, so I was giving them access to frames and all that kind of stuff. And we were having the discussions, but I really wasn't comfortable yet in how to talk about or bring the subject up or how to service them a bit better. And it was hard because I was offering digital file packages. So it was kind of like an afterthought for them, you know? But yeah, so I knew like years ago, I'm not sure who I picked it up from, if it was from Swift Galleries or Mark Rosetto or whoever, but it was all about, you know, you have to show what you want to sell. And that kind of stuck with me. So I had started, even with my outdoor photography, I was showing all of the outdoor photography in frames, in wall art. And then I changed that over to studio. But yes, it was kind of just having all that on the website, knowing that one day I wanted to be able to provide that service. I just didn't know how to do it yet. But yeah.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Beth, it's been so good to talk to you. I love that you were brave enough to come on and share your story far, because I know it's only all new.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll be happy to come back on in 6 months and share where you're at with Alex and the business and the trailer and how things have played out for you.
Yes. Well, I hope so too.
Is that, I hope I'll be brave enough or?
I hope both. Brave enough, still in business, you know.
Absolutely. Of course you will be. So, okay, just to finish off then. So like, where do you see things in 6 months in a perfect world?
I don't know.
Really? No idea.
No idea.
Like, where would you like to be business-wise in 6 months?
I think I would like to have more organic inquiries or bookings and not have to run ads.
Right.
I guess that would be the only thing.
Okay.
I find people that come to me on their own, you know, and are looking for something specific, but I don't know. I just want to still be in business.
I'm sure.
No idea.
Yeah. You've been going already for over 3 years, so I'm sure you're through the hardest part, and I'm sure it's going to grow and grow.
Yeah.
Well, look, again, Beth, thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to have images and some video footage of your trailer and obviously links to your website and social media profiles in the show notes. But look, massive thanks again for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, Andrew. It's been great. Thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Beth. Beth, if you're listening, again, thank you so much for being brave enough to come on and share all those details about your business. You were fantastic. You are amazing. I absolutely love your photography. And I was dead serious when I said I'd love to have you back in the next 6 to 12 months to hear about how your business has progressed since working with Alex, how the mobile studio is going, how you've gone through your winter time. Yeah, I'm looking forward to following your journey and learning so much more about you and your business. So again, Beth, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you did. For you, the listener, I hope you did get a ton from what Beth did have to share. Like I said earlier, before I kicked off the interview, I'd love to hear your feedback. You can do that or leave your feedback, check out more of Beth's work and see links to anything and everything that she mentioned in the show notes. And they are at photobizx.com/388. And of course, if you are a premium member, we'll have access to Beth inside the members Facebook group. So let's continue the conversation with her and me inside the group. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. Once I've finished editing and you're actually hearing this episode, I'll be jumping over into the daily vlog challenge. We're in the midst of a challenge, so I'm daily I'm going through video recordings from each of the course participants, setting new challenges, and we are right in the thick of it as we kick off week two. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm not exactly sure why I'm telling you this, but that's what I'm going to be doing for the rest of, not for the rest of the day. I'm going to be doing that for a short part of the day after I get this episode out to you. In addition to that, it's going to be a whole lot of admin stuff. Linda is crazy busy with the soccer team photos that we've just gone through for our local soccer club. We've got clients coming to our door daily. So the way we distribute or get the photos to the parents from each of the soccer teams is Linda puts out a big crate of photos out on our front balcony. All the team's photos are in different sleeves. In those sleeves, the team is clearly labeled. Inside that group of photos is separate bundles of photos for each of the parents, and they're clearly marked as well. So the soccer manager, the soccer team manager or soccer coach or one of the parents comes by, picks up their team's photos and distributes them to the players or the players' parents. So we've got that happening at the moment while Linda and Tennille are working on getting last week's photos out. So yeah, things are busy. It's good. Anyway, I'm rambling. That's it for this episode. I hope you have a fantastic week wherever in the world you're listening from. I hope you are staying safe, healthy, and well, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.